courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD, all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion about the issue as we speak today. We're talking about Trump, the Middle East, and America. And perhaps you ask the question, how are those things integrated? What's the purpose? President Trump's recent trip to the Middle East and to the Gulf states, bringing back something in the realm of trillions of dollars that's committed to be invested in America. I'm thankful for that. It has some loose ends that causes me to have a little angst and a little question in relationship to it. We're dealing with that and other major issues surrounding the Biden administration, the announcement of Biden's cancer that supposedly has just been discovered, and whether or not that is a deflection of discussing and talking about the President Biden, i.e. auto pen Biden, in the White House for 4 years, and whether or not that action by everything being signed by the auto pen is legal and enforceable. We have with us today Congressman Mike Hill, the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, thank you again for joining us. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion and what our listeners will have to say and their questions and comments. But let's switch gears for just a moment. We have the fact that it's just been discovered that Joe Biden probably didn't sign anything. It was probably done by what is called the auto pen, and the auto pen was used to sign everything off. So the question is, what is auto pen? What does it mean? Does that mean that Biden is not or was not the legitimate president? Let me read an article and then get your take on it. President Trump goes off on the growing Biden auto pen scandal after her tapes, that's H-U-R, the one that did the interrogation of Biden and his response, after the tapes were released. President Trump on Saturday morning went off on the growing Biden auto pen scandal after distributing disturbing audio of Robert Hur's interview with the former president was released. The president said that the auto pen scandal was a major part of the real crime, that the 2020 presidential election was indeed rigged and stolen. Trump also slammed the dirty cop, James Comey, for his spying on the 2016 campaign. Let me read one brief paragraph from the body of this article. Whoever had control of the auto pen is looking to be a bigger and bigger scandal by the moment. It is a major part of the real crime that the presidential election of 2020 was rigged and stolen. Millions and millions of people knew that, but the radical left Democrats waged a campaign of inculcation and innocence like none that we've ever been waged before. This is why the unselect committee of political thugs who were given a full and complete pardon by the person who wielded the now illegally used auto pen detailed and destroyed all evidence and information from their corrupt and vicious witch hunt against me. and many other people whose lives were completely shattered and destroyed by this historically criminal event. Now, the question, Congressman Hill, that I believe needs to have some elaboration, what is an auto pen? Who holds that? Who's responsible for that? And if Biden didn't sign anything personally, probably didn't know what was being signed, where do we stand as a nation with his executive orders, with the pardons that he signed, or auto pen signed? Explain that and broaden the thoughts for a while.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, an auto pen signature is a copy of Joe Biden's actual signature. So in other words, you or I can do our signature on a piece of paper or on some computer screen, and it is then captured. And so it can look like the original. So what the auto pen does is it captures that signature and will place it on documents that need to be signed, kind of like when you do DocuSign, and you hit sign here, and it'll have your signature already there, and if it's your signature or not, and it will paste it onto the document. That's what an auto pen does. Now, who was the one who was signing all those documents? That's the $100,000 question. Of course, it wasn't Biden himself. He did not have the mental capacity in order to do that. And that's what the release of those HUR tapes, as you said, H-U-R tapes, made clear. When you read the transcript and you would see that he would stutter here and there, you would go, well, okay, you know, everybody kind of stutters. But when you hear it and the long pauses that are in between words, sentences, and the stuttering, you knew that it was a person who did not have the mental capacity to be able to make not only decisions for the United States, but we're talking about even dressing himself. Joe Biden was his mental capacity was a wreck, and it was a shame that they propped that up during the entire time with the hopes of getting Kamala elected and continuing this crime spree that we saw the Democrats committing during the time of Biden's administration. But it even goes before that. We go back to the Obama administration when this crime spree began. And the reason I say that, Dr. Youngblood, is a lot of the people who were on the Obama administration are the same ones who are in the Biden administration. And when you take that cabal there, I think Susan Rice, Anthony Blinken, Sullivan, a number of them would get together, I believe, along with the chief of staff. And I have to apologize. I can't recall who his chief of staff was at this time.
Wasn't that Ron
Klein? All of them would get together. I'm sorry? Yes,
was that Ron Klein?
That's right. They would all get together and decide the signing of documents with that auto pen. It was a sham that anyone who was not deaf, dumb, and blind could see that Joe Biden did not have the mental acuity to run this nation. So they were doing that for, but who in particular, that's harder to nail down, but I think eventually we will know. But what we saw was a crime spree that cost the United States an awful lot, not just in terms of our fiscal capacity, but in terms of our standing around the nation, the freedoms that were infringed upon. It was just a shame what we went through. But having said all that, because we went through it, we appreciate even more what we're seeing President Trump doing now and the turnaround of what it means for this great nation.
I am thankful to see that turnaround. One other question related to the auto pen. Now, you may or may not have the exact answer, but I'd love to have your opinion on it. If Biden was in fact sworn in as president, if Biden in fact did not know what he was signing, if in fact the executive orders, the pardons, and the laws that supposedly went into effect with Biden's signature, and it is on admission to some of the House members in conversation with them, he denied knowing anything about many of these things that supposedly he signed. So my question is, in your opinion, are those documents legal? Are those pardons legal, enforceable? Are those executive orders legal and enforceable if, in fact, the president did not sign them or authorize their signature?
In my opinion, I would say no, Dr. Youngblood. It was all illegitimate. And when it's illegitimate, it does not carry the force of law behind it. It was a sham, it was a farce, and it was carried out by the Democrat Party. And because that is becoming more apparent, that is why right now the Democrat Party approval ratings are the lowest they've ever been since they become a party, somewhere down in the low 20% range. And what's amazing, though, Dr. Young, but is the Democrats don't have a response for it. They're just doubling down on their stupidity. They're continuing trying to press on with the farce, knowing that Joe Biden was both mentally ill and, as we are hearing as of yesterday, physically ill. And doctors are confirming that with this prostate cancer, which has metastasized into his bones, that is a long-term development. And when the president receives physicals at least annually on a regular basis, and they always check the PSA levels, which will determine the presence of cancer in your body, they could see that those are elevated. They knew that he had cancer for quite some time. One of his own former doctors said for years it must have been there. They knew it and they hid it. And it was such a shame of what this farce that they played, not only on the American people, but on the world.
It was, in fact, a sham. And I think most of us recognize that, even in the 2020 election, when he run the election out of the basement and the Marxist media covered for him, all of the Democrats, even now, some of the Democrats are saying that they still have confidence in Biden, that he still has control of his faculties, that he still could run the presidency if he were still in office, et cetera, infinitum. They're still trying to cover. Now, switching gears for just a moment, James Comey, the former FBI director, fired by President Trump in 2017, has a seething, in my opinion, a seething anger and hostility toward President Trump and anything that Trump does. James Comey was 100% for electing Hillary Rodham Clinton. He's the one that ran interference with her. And rather than a court of law deciding, James Comey made the decision that she should not be prosecuted, et cetera, et cetera. But now here's the point. I'm sure you're familiar with, and most of our listeners should be familiar with if they have not become knowledgeable of it, that James Comey says he was walking on the beach and found a formation of seashells that was already there. And he said, I recognized that it was some kind of political signal, and the seashells formed perfect letters and numbers, 8, 6, 47. What does that mean in normal communication? Most police, law enforcement are familiar with it. Most thugs and gangsters are familiar with it. Old-timers are familiar with it. What is 86, if you have 8647, what does that connote? And is it possible that somehow, some way, those seashells just lined up, jumped into place, and formed 8647 on the sea, on the sand of the beach? Speak to that and your thoughts on it.
Well, first of all, yes, Dr. Youngblood, first of all, James Comey is a liar, he's a thief, and he should be in jail for a long time. Not only for what he did back with Hillary Clinton to run interference for her when she was running for president, but even afterwards, what he did as head of the FBI, he ruined that organization. Now, 86 means 8 stands for 8 miles out. In other words, 8 miles from the shore, you dump the body, meaning it can't be found. And 6 stands for 6 feet under. In other words, you're buried and dead. Again, the body can't be found. So what he is saying, 86, 47, of course, 47th president being Trump, he is saying essentially kill President Trump. That's what he is saying, and he knows that. He knew what it meant. Even if he found it on a beach, was a lie, even if he found it on the beach, why would you take a picture of that and post it on your Instagram? Because you know what it means. Mm-hmm. If anything, let's say I was walking on a beach and I saw 8646. I would have said, oh, my goodness. You know, I might have chuckled and said, and just went on. And even if I took a picture of it, I would only send it to friends and say, look what I found on the beach. But, of course, he didn't find it. He put those shells together himself. He posted it on Instagram. And why would he do something so stupid, knowing that it's illegal? And as you said, Dr. Youngblood, it's because of his seething hatred for President Trump. It has blinded his ability to make rational decisions. And he should pay for that.
You're exactly right. And I'm amazed that the media, again, running interference for a thug like that. I'm looking at a headline. Tulsi Gabbard. Comey spent career prosecuting mobsters, fully understood the dangerous message. The article reads in part, ex-FBI heads, 8647, a post seems as a threat to President Trump. Director of the National Intelligence, the DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, said on Fox News Thursday that former FBI Director James Comey knew exactly what he was doing when he used the language and echoed mob-style threats publicly. Comey deleted an Instagram post showing the numbers 8647 after he received backlash as people accused him of subtly promoting a threat against President Donald Trump. Using coded language during an appearance on the Jesse Walters Waters primetime, Gabbard dismissed Comey's claim of ignorance over the meaning of 8647, especially given his long background in federal law enforcement. This is a ridiculous and insane statement to make, certainly within the context, but especially coming from a guy who's the former director of the FBI, a guy who spent most of his career prosecuting mobsters and gangsters, people who know and execute other humans and use this exact lingo, 86. Gabbard said when she was asked if she believed Comey's excuse that he didn't know the numbers had any significance to it. She goes on to say the dangerousness of this cannot be underestimated. When we have 2 assassination attempts on the president's life, when we have people who look to guys like Comey, who has been celebrated by MSNBC and the Democrat elites and CNN as the beacon of integrity, the law and order guy, the guy who would tell the truth no matter what the consequences, he says. This is the guy who's issuing a hit on President Trump, Gabbard said. And she said he needs to be prosecuted and put in jail. Another writer, the DOJ's Ed Martin, says James Comey will go to jail. Associate Director, Deputy Director General Ed Martin said former FBI Director James Comey is going to prison after he posted an assassination threat against President Trump. He knew it. He knows that he has a problem. Perjury tapes are next. Going to jail on one or the other. Ed Martin said as he spoke on a show on Friday. So the question is, and then we'll take our next caller, should he go to jail? Should he be prosecuted? And the third portion of that question, do the Republicans have the spine to go through the prosecution?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I think with Pam Bondi acting as our Attorney General, head of the Department of Justice, I think that she has the spine, one, because she is very closely aligned with President Trump, who is going to, I think, demand that she do something about this. And I agree, he is going to jail. He knew what 8647 meant. And that is exactly why he posted it. Let me ask you this, Dr. Youngblood. Let's say he walked up and he saw, which, again, he didn't walk up. He put those shells that way.
Yeah.
Let's say he walked up and he saw the numbers 14-14-47, which, of course, has no meaning. Would he have taken a picture of that and put it on his Instagram? Oh, I don't know what it means, but I'm going to put that on Instagram. Of course he knew what it meant, and
absolutely,
that was why he posted it on Instagram, and he should go to jail for that. He should go to prison for it, and hopefully, and I believe she will, I believe Pam Bondi will prosecute him for that.
It needs to be. That is nothing more and nothing less than an open invitation to assassinate President Donald J. Trump. Congressman Hill, hold your thought for just a moment. We have Derby on the line. Derby, go over with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, 2 points. One on China and one on the cover-up of Biden issues. Concerning China, we know that they steal our technology, but not only that, we have been giving it to them for free. I have a brother who was teaching at Virginia Tech 30, 40 years ago, and he says that most foreign students were Chinese. So all of our universities were filled up with Chinese students, Chinese spies. Why should we be teaching them our technology when they can steal it? So it was wrong to have so many Chinese students in American universities. That doesn't apply to the Russians. I don't know of any great amounts of Russians in our universities. That's point one. The other point is that if the Democrats knew Biden was incompetent already, so they lied to the American people. So all of them, the whole Democrat Party, is guilty of lying to the American people. That is treason, and they're promoting lies that should be punished with capital punishment.
Congressman Hill, what say you?
I agree, Derby, 100%. You're right. They knew that Biden was not competent to do it, and so did the other candidates who were running against him before they cleared the field, including Tulsi Gabbard. She knew, but she has seemed to have seen the light and came over to our side. But yes, they should be punished for it. Now, you say capital punishment, you mean being put to death for it? If it means treason, that is the a punishment for treason is death.
And I believe, Derby, that if our Republicans in the House and the Senate have a spine enough, a backbone enough, tenacity to face the enemy known as the Communist Network News, I believe it can be done. But if you want my personal opinion, I don't believe we have a congressman in Washington, in the House or the Senate, that has the spine, the backbone, to do anything other than talk of what's going to be done. Now, as Congressman Hill just said, if anything is done that has any significance, I think it'll come through Pam Bondi's office or Cash Patel and the two major law enforcement agencies in America. I believe that's the only hope that we have with that. And if it is not punishable, if it is not punished to the furthest extent of the law, we will open Pandora's box that will destroy any potential of ever having another constitutional republic as we have today. We're approaching our 250th year, and I believe we need to recognize, as you call it, is treason. And unless treason is properly viewed, properly handled, properly punished, we're opening Pandora's box to destroy our nation. And I remind everybody, Psalm 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If our foundations are being destroyed and the Christians, conservatives, and patriots sit back in silence and do nothing, if we do not call, email, text, and demand that our representatives and senators act on this now, if we do not do that, it's our fault. The conservatives, the Christians, and the patriots. Derby, thank you so much for your call.
But God one more. What about the Chinese students in the American universities? Why do we have so many, even today?
Congressman, what say you?
They were brought in, Derby, because originally the thought was, if we show the Chinese people, if we show the communists how capitalism works, how democracy and a republic works, they will take it back to their nation. Their nation will then throw off communism, and they'll become capitalist nations. Well, that didn't work. And so that's why they were bringing them over here, putting them in our schools, educating them, giving them our technology, and the technology that they did not learn in the schools, Bill Clinton gave it to them.
You can't get any clearer than that, and that's exactly what we're seeing. Derby, it's not just the Chinese Communist Party students. We have an entire U.S. Educational Department, higher education, with most all of our prestigious universities being infiltrated with the so-called Palestinians and the anti-Semitic view that's now tearing our nation apart. So I'm in agreement with Congressman Hill and what he said. I believe that what was taking place then in relationship to the Chinese students and what is taking place today with the Islamic students, I believe we need to put a halt to it. But the whole bottom line is those institutions are gathering billions of dollars. It's the M-O-N-E-Y, which God's word says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I believe we're seeing the end result of it. So, Derby, thank you so much for your call. Congressman Hill, one brief thought before we end the broadcast today. How should Christians, what should Christians do with what we've said today? How should they respond?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, we need to pray for our leadership. We're instructed to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for President Trump and for his administration. And we're also instructed, Dr. Youngblood, to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for Joe Biden. It's terrible to receive that diagnosis of cancer, which has spread into his bones. It's terrible. We need to pray for him and that cancer. We need to pray for his family. We need to pray, Dr. Youngblood. Why? Because prayer works. And God is faithful.
Amen. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now in